I pray that you'll praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. I'm reading through the Bible with you. We're in Joshua chapter 20. We'll be reading some from Hebrews, 11th chapter, and from Ephesians, the first chapter. There are 9 verses in Joshua chapter 20. And I'm not going to ask you to pray that the Lord will be here, because the Lord, we know, is already here. For as many as 2 or more are gathered in his name, he is here. He is here. It's a done deal. It's past tense. It's here. And so we pray that, Lord, now that you're here, we pray that you will open everyone's mind, their heart, their spiritual man inside, to receive everything. That you anoint your word and give me the exact words, and lead, guide, and direct for me to do a commentary here that people will always remember. And let it be directly from you and nothing else but from you. We thank you for being here. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory for it. We thank you for honoring your word. You said that you would be here, and we know that you are. Lord, we ask that souls will be saved, blessed, encouraged, that they will be given joy, peace, happiness, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's start out by the header in Hebrews, or in Joshua, is verse 1. What is the header and verse 1?
The cities of refuge.
The cities of refuge. Now, the Bible is a book of instructions to save our lives here on earth, and also to save our lives for eternity. And right here is an instruction that if people didn't read it, they could wind up very dead, because if you accidentally kill, say for instance, someone's brother or sister, mother, son or daughter, or their mother and father, and you didn't know that there was a place to run to for refuge that God had provided for you to go, in the heat of the anger of the person who's a relative that you have killed, would come and kill you. And so the Lord said, I am providing different cities for you to go to. And by God, if you don't read this and you don't do what I'm telling you, you're going to be killed. Because, you know, people get really angry if you kill their little daughter or their little son, or whether it was an accident or not, they just feel you should be dead. Now, I'm providing places for you to run to where it's illegal for them to come and kill you or do anything bad to you. And so this book, this Bible, is a direction from the Lord on how to save your life here on earth, and to save your life from going to hell, your spirit from going to hell. So it's a very practical book here in the natural realm, and also very exceedingly practical for the supernatural realm. You also have to always remember these things, because remembrance comes by reading, a constant reading. That's the way of life, is the reproof of the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so if you forget the direction in the Bible, you're going to get killed. Something terrible is going to happen to you. You're going to wind up in hell. And then you've got these false prophets that say, use the scriptures wrongly by telling you that God will never leave or forsake you. Jesus will never leave or forsake you. He's talking to disciples that follow him, that just stay with him, that seek him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those are the ones he'll never leave or forsake. But if you just think that the Lord is your servant rather than you his servant, well, you're turning things around, thinking that you're meeting your own needs. You're not following the scriptures correctly. If you leave the Lord, it isn't him that left you or forsook you. You left him, and you forsook him. Your mind is not on the Lord all day long, and you're not concerned about all the directions in the word of the Lord, and so you feel that if something bad, something evil befalls you during the day, that God has forsaken you. When in reality, it's you that have left and forsaken the Lord. Now, here's people in this first verse here. We're in the header here, and in this chapter of 9 verses, chapter 20 in Joshua, is the Lord told. It says that the Lord told Moses, and then he told Joshua to provide cities for people who listen to the word of the Lord, that they can escape being killed for something that accidentally happened. And so if you don't read the word of God in every instance, there's you're going to die, or you're going to wind up maimed, halt, murdered, something. Because we have to listen to the word of the Lord. You say, well, I don't want to listen to it. It's for your own good. Amen? It's direction for in the event that an accident happened, or you did something, or, you know, that the Holy Spirit. Now, this is Old Testament we're talking here, when the Bible tells us that the New Testament tells us now that Jesus has gone, has paid the price for our salvation, and he's gone back to the Father now after he's was killed, crucified for us, and shed his blood in our place. And we've been washed and cleansed now that he lives in us. And there's all sorts of promises that he tells us. He says, now, a lot of people think that God has forsaken them. But he's a rewarder of all those, and only all those, that diligently seek him. Amen? Now, are you diligently seeking the Lord? He's not going to reward you of never leaving you or forsaking you unless you diligently seek him. Does it say that he's a rewarder of all those who just don't pay any heed to him?
No.
No. What does it say? To all those that
diligently seek him.
Yeah, not just seek him, but diligently. That means like vigilantly seek him. Those are the ones he rewards. And so, you know, don't be thinking that the Lord is, going to reward you, that he says, if you do this, then I will do this. But if you listen to me with these cities of refuge here, then you will be safe. But if you don't, I don't guarantee anything to you except the strong possibility that you're going to be killed. You understand? So this chapter, you know, most people would just read it and like it's hickory dickory dock, or that they're mentally or intellectually trying to read the Bible, and they know these things in their mind, but they don't believe that you have to do it. If you accidentally killed somebody, you better get yourself into one of these cities of refuge. Because if you don't, God gives you no guarantee that you're going to be around long. Because like if I'm unsaved and you kill my son or my little daughter, I'm going to come after you. You can come up with all kinds of excuses I did it by accident. I mean, you should have been more careful, my friend, is what most people would say. Amen? Of course, I'm a Christian now. I don't think that way anymore. But you kill my mother? Well, yeah, because I opened the door and, a little bit too fast, and it knocked her in the head and she fell over dead. Look, man, you better head for that city of refuge, amen? Or my little daughter, my God, my son, I love them and you killed them. It was you that did it. How do I believe you that you just accidentally did something? You just were not careful enough. And because you're not careful enough, I'm at least, as a lot of people would say, I'm going to just hurt you bad. And maybe you'll die in the process. I don't know. But the Lord is a rewarder. So in the New Testament, he says, I'm a rewarder only for all those who don't passively seek me, but diligently seek me. Let's go to that chapter right now. Let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. That's the faith, the chapter that explains about faith and how profitable it is to have faith when the Lord tells you to go to that city to get yourself there. It's a place of refuge. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord is our refuge. What does that mean? Well, his word tells us how to stay alive on earth. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord says that the Holy Spirit is with us now, he says, and he will teach us all things. What? Well, there's a lot of things that we do because a lot of us are not that bright. And we might do a lot of things that offend people, and the Lord's Spirit will say, go to this place now for refuge. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, you don't know what's going to happen to you. It could be somebody that you think is a brother or a sister, and yet deep down inside they're so violent that you may have said something to them or looked at them in the wrong way, and they want your scalp. All right? Especially if they've got some Indian blood in them, right? No, I'm just joking there. Okay? Now, she had part Cherokee in her, and I'd tell her, don't look at my scalp that way when she'd get mad at me, okay? So anyway, there's people, you know, that you offend all day long. You don't know it. And some people, I mean, you know, they just figure you should do something for them, and you don't know what's going through the minds of people today because there's a lot of people that are crazy. I mean, the Bible says madness would be on the face of the earth in the last day. And so the Holy Spirit says he'll teach us all things. Teach us how to, of different places of refuge. All right? There wasn't just cities. There's cities of refuge there. But now we have all sorts of reasons to know how to go to a place of repose, a place of refuge, to where if we've done something to somebody, or the Lord, if the Spirit is with you, he'll tell you, go. Like yesterday, we have Lee Raymer, and about 3 days ago, Lee Raymer is a construction man that really helps us out a lot, and we haven't dealt with him for years, and the Lord told me to call him, and when I did, well, he got our lights put on at number 7. And I wouldn't have known to do that. We still would have been maybe sitting there in darkness if God didn't tell me the proper person to get the lights on. And then, so the Lord said, send him $2,000. So I sent him $2,000 before the lights were put on. Because I didn't know, you know, I just knew to do what the Lord said. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, lo and behold, the lights got turned on because he went down there personally. And in the past, we really haven't given Lee Raymer hardly any money at all. He just was volunteering his work, but he was thrilled to get that money. I guess he must have needed it or something. And then the Lord told me, this was like a couple of months ago, maybe longer. And then the Lord told me about 3 or 4 days ago, the Holy Spirit taught me, he says, give him another $2,000. So I sent it to him, and bam, he was... Brothers said that he was just overjoyed to get that, and so he went down to a concrete contractor to make an appointment for me to be up there today, and that's where I'm going, is to meet with him to show him what I want done at the front of the church, so that people's vehicles, when they drive in, it's not a big bump there or anything. It's got to be smoothed down and concreted so that it's like a, you know, a church that's blessed by the Lord. Because it's a horrible thing to have a morbid church where everybody just stares like a bunch of ghouls, and then to get in there, you got to go over this huge hump, and your car jiggles back and forth, and it's almost impossible to get a bus in there. And so, you know, because of the earthquake and some damage out there from floods, it left the terrain kind of chopped up like that, and so I want to take care of it. The Lord put that on me to do that. And so that was a very smart thing to do, because he also got a permit for us to build a refurbish those bungalows down there. Somebody didn't pay attention, and vandals came and just tore those places to bits, to where you couldn't even live in them anymore. And now they're all fixed, and there's people living in them right now. And they're comfortable and beautiful, and we've spent quite a bit of money on it, but Lee Raymer got the permits to do that. Okay, so, and you just don't know. Then there's good relationships that I have with a construction man, Marty Braswell, out in Arkansas, and he just will do anything for us. And the Lord told me, don't hassle him about money, don't try to barter with him, because he's giving you a fair price. And so every time that thought would come to my mind, I know that the devil is always trying to pelt my mind with thoughts. There's a place of refuge. Lord, you told me don't barter with him. Don't start, saying, well, come on, can't you give us $2,000 off or something? Don't do that, the Lord. That was a place of refuge. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then the Lord says, oh, I want to go down to some restaurant here in town and take everybody there for it, because the Lord's really blessed us today, and so I want to do that, or I want to get everybody's sweatshirts or something like that. And the Lord says, don't go to that restaurant, go over to this one. And I say, praise the Lord, that's a place of refuge, because if I would have went to the other one, God only knows what would have happened over there. Maybe somebody come in that didn't like our literature or something, my literature, and they'd maybe throw a bomb in there or something, or maybe we'd all catch ptomaine poisoning. You don't know, I mean, what are you going to do, defy the Lord and not go to that city of refuge if you've accidentally killed somebody? Murder, first degree murder, is where you plot, you plan to kill somebody, and then you actually do it, like these people today that are planning. They have sex, and they don't want the baby, and so they're going to have a baby, and so they plan to murder the little child. And they go down to an abortion parlor, and they put the baby to death. And they just think, well, that's just fine, it's like a dog or a cat or something. It doesn't make any difference if they're alive or not. But the Bible says, there's a lot in the scriptures about murder and how that murderer shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you've ever done anything like that before, get washed in the blood of Jesus and make sure you don't do it again. And don't make sure you don't commit fornication, adultery, incest, or any other of those crimes, because the Lord tells you that you have run out to the city of refuge if you do that, and there's no refuge for you any longer. All right? And the Lord is in the city with you if you've done something like that. But if you run out of the city, you ran away from the Lord. You're out on your own, kiddo. All right? You're on your own. You prefer to be on your own. You don't want to be under the wing of the Lord, into the refuge of the Lord. All right, so let's read something here from the 11th chapter. Or let's go to Ephesians first, in chapter 1, okay? Chapter 1, verse 1. Has everybody got their pages ready? We're at verse 1 in Ephesians. This is this is a chapter where it tells us that, this is the book that tells us that we already have the things that the Lord says. We have the city of refuge. We have the Lord with us all the time, providing that we go to the city of refuge, and the refuge is the Lord. Amen. He's our city of refuge, right?
Right.
Okay, so go ahead and read.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so this is only to the saints and to those that are faithful. Faithful, I mean, if the Lord says to run to the city of refuge, then you faithfully do it. Not because you think, I just don't want to do what God tells me to do, or anybody. I'm not going to listen to anybody about anything. I'm my own person, like the people say today, like the government, like the world order, the new world, supposed to be new world order. So I don't listen to, I'm my own boss. and everything. But this is to the saints and all those that what?
To the faithful.
To those that are full of faith. The faithful. What does it mean to have faith? It means that you have faith in what God says. By faith, we understand. We get understanding from the Word of God that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We understand that, it says, by faith in what this book is saying. This book is saying how to live a long life on this earth and how to live as an immortal human being and a spiritual being throughout eternity, and that's forever. Okay? And if you don't value that, well, then there's something wrong with your with you mentally, spiritually, every kind of way there is. Okay? So keep going.
Grace be to you.
The power of God be unto you is what that means. In other words, the power of God to give you the knowledge because you diligently seek Him to do everything that the Lord says for your own benefit and for the benefit of those that you love. Because the Bible promises that if you do, diligently do, if, and this is like conditional, the Lord is not your Lord unconditionally. Don't ever think that. Whoever tells you that, Solara, I was just listening to a compact disc over here of some guy that's telling people that God just unconditionally loves you, and that is not true. Why then does He hate the workers of iniquity? Why then does He hate all those that quit Him, that walk no longer with Him? In the sixth chapter of the book of John, it tells about a bunch of disciples that no longer walk with the Lord. Well, if they no longer walk with them, then the Lord is no longer walking with them either. Amen?
Amen.
Right? You don't want to walk with the Lord, and you try to say that the Lord is walking with you? How could, like if you're walking with me and then you turn away from me, and I tell you, I'll never leave or forsake you. You say that when you get married. I'll never leave or forsake you. But then you leave me. I'm no longer with you. Amen?
Amen.
You're with some other man, or you're just, I'm here right now in California, and you're in Alaska someplace. How could you say that I have never left or forsaken? Well, we're holding a good thought. That isn't the way it is. You need Jesus with you all the time. You need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with you at all times. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're forsaking Him, the deal is you turn your back on me and I'll turn my back on you. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. That's a Jewish God. So don't, everyone has their own fixed ideas. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. You're crazy if you think that way, all right? You're crazy. And the Bible says so. All right? You're nuts. In your guts, you know you're nuts. Amen? I don't hear anybody out there in the tape land that's saying the amen, but you better say it. In your guts, you know you're nuts. If you're not walking with the Lord every day. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go. Keep going.
And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, to those that diligently seek Him. Okay, then what?
3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual...
Who has blessed us. He already has. Amen? We have all these good things in us, amen?
Amen.
Provided that we continue diligently seeking Him. A lot of people think, well, I've already found Him, so I don't have to diligently seek Him anymore. No, the Bible says that the reproof of the Word of the Lord is the way of life. You have to keep reproving yourself. It's like you say, I've got a tank full of gas in my car. And that's it. Now I'm going to Knott's Berry Farm tonight and over to see Marine Land, I'm going to Disneyland, I'm going over to the beach, I'm going to the Griffith Park Zoo and watch the animals today, and if I run out of gas, I don't have to put any more gas in my car. It's like I heard that there were some Indians out Palm Springs that they were so wealthy and everything, and they just really didn't have a good understanding of how things are, and they ran out of gas and they got out of the car and said, "No good," and they just walked away from it and left the Cadillac there. No good. But that isn't the way. The car's good, you just got to put more gas in it. And you're good too, as long as you put more of the Spirit of the Lord in you all the time. You have to tank up, because just like right now, I'm expounding in the Spirit of the Lord is coming out of me, because I'm telling you the way that the Lord is moving me in my spirit, and by the time I get done, I'm exhausted. Now I have to, I've exhausted the supply of spirit that the Lord gave me today by my study today, or my listening to heretics and making me angry enough to get into the Word and to expound on it. And then as soon as that's gone, I've got to tank up again if I want to bring a message to you tomorrow or tonight. Or maybe I'm going to bump into somebody today, and I'm sure I will, where I'm going to have to witness and testify to them. And I've got to re-tank up again right after this message. Okay, so go ahead. And you do too. I mean, that's diligently seeking the Lord on a daily basis and making sure that you're with Him. Because there may be a time today that you're going to need a place of refuge, and how will you know where that is unless you're walking with Him and He says, go. Like I told you, just the many times it happens all day long, every day, but just a very crucial time is the Lord says, you've got 5 minutes to get out of this place, in Las Vegas when I was there. And so I told everybody, we had a bunch of brothers there with us, and I says, everybody, take your stuff, because I knew that the government is trying to kill me, because the gospel and the way that I was exposing the government. And so I knew that there was like government agents all, there must be government agents all around, or the Interpol, the international police, trying to kill me for bringing the gospel and teaching people how that the structure of the government would be just before Jesus comes back to earth again. So he says, God says in the spirit, you got 5 minutes to get out of here. If you don't, you're going to be killed. And so I said, look, you, everyone in the house, come here a second. The Lord just told me I got 5 minutes to get out of here. So throw everything that you want to take with you on your blankets, on your bed, and then just roll it up. Don't think about that. If you're not out of here, if you're not in the vehicle, and throw it in the van out here. If you're not in the van, I'm leaving you behind. I'm giving you a fair warning. Now, let's get out. We got 5 minutes, but we're going to be out of here in 2 minutes, all right? The van was inside of the garage. It was a really nice apartments that Liberace had built, or he had contractors built. It was beautiful, great big spacious apartments, and we were on the ground floor. And so that we hit the zapper, and that garage door opened up in about 2.5 minutes, and zoom, we were gone. A couple of the people, Gary Nash and his wife, decided to stay. And I says, all right. And they say, a lot of people say that Gary Nash and I look quite a bit alike, because the police actually had thrown him on the ground in a Las Vegas casino and put a gun down his mouth and said, and he says, I'm not. And they says, yeah, look, just like him. They looked at his ID and they going all through it, and they says, oh, sorry. He was dressed up in one of my glitzy jackets and a hat and everything like that. And so they let him go. And so he hadn't learned his lesson. So here, just a few minutes after we left, here they busted in again, he told us, and put the gun barrel down on the side of his skull and down his throat again. And see, I listened to what the Lord said, but he had his own understanding, his own way. And some of these guys are pretty trigger happy. They could have just blown his brains out. And for no reason, and a good reason, because he didn't go, he didn't want refuge to leave when he was supposed to. Okay? All right, so go ahead and I'll read some more.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us.
Who has blessed us with the Holy Spirit in us to lead, guide, and direct us to refuge and to prosperity. How do you know that the Lord doesn't say, go over to this person and give you $1 million? Huh? If you're not walking with the Lord, you don't know. You don't know from nothing. You're just, without the Lord, you can't do anything. You can't know anything. You're just a human. There's a song, I'm just a human. I'm just a man. Well, if you're in the Lord, you're not just a human. You're human and spirit. You are the spirit of the Lord is in you. You are a God-man or a God-woman, all right? And if you are, then you have to live that way. You can't be natural. You're forced to be in a natural body, but you must live your life supernaturally because you've been given immortality. You're now a supernatural being. Amen? As well, living in a natural body that has to be kept under subjection or rule by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're not in a position to where you can know where to go to refuge or know how to be prosperous or know how to be victorious. We're victorious and prosperous and have salvation and healing, providing if we are walking in the Spirit. There is no kind of condemnation, no kind of anything to those that walk in the Spirit. Amen? But we're condemned not only in heaven, in eternity, but here on earth if we do not walk in the Spirit. Amen? And so, because that's our place of refuge. That doesn't mean to sit there, you know, in the park with the with the bubble over the top of us or something like that. It means walking in the Spirit so that God can use us as individuals in this world, bringing the supernatural realm into this natural realm, the world here, so that people can say, there's no possible way that this guy or this girl could have made it the way that the whole world government is after them, still be alive today unless it were the Lord. Amen? So all the glory goes to the Lord. But woe be unto you if you think that that is just for me and not for you. It's talking about all the saints. Amen? And all those that, what else? All the saints and what else?
Faithful in Christ.
And the faithful. Those that are full of faith to do everything the Lord says. You did something, here's the refuge. Or the Lord says, somebody's wanting to get you for no reason at all. Here's the refuge. Go over to Santa Monica. Or get out of the state of California because there's going to be a great earthquake. And this place is going to fall in the ocean. We don't know. Unless we are walking in the Spirit. Or don't go to Arkansas because California's going to stay and Arkansas is going to just cave in and sink down into hell. It's happened in the Bible before. And you think you're so intelligent that you can just take this with a grain of salt? Well, then you're even more stupid than you look. Okay, then what?
Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Who has. It doesn't say that he will, but it says that he has blessed us with 50% spiritual blessings, 99% spiritual blessings, 99.9% spiritual blessings. He has already blessed us with all. What?
All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, so we already have them, but we just have to have the understanding to be able to receive it, that these good things are already in us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So it's has. He already has. It's past tense. Will is in the future. Has is in the past. Amen? How about that? Isn't that nice to know? This is, so we need this guidance to know that we have these things and that we can draw from them. We have to show the world that we have them. Amen?
Amen.
All blessings. Everything. Then what?
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Yeah, but only in him. But if you're not in him, you're not chosen. You have to make an effort to get in him. He does not love you or I or me in unconditionally. It's that we have to be in him and he has to be in us. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's read some more.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
We don't commit adultery, fornication, this or that, and on and on. Yeah, but do you walk in the Spirit, and do you know when to zig and when to zag? Okay? Is the Lord telling you when to get in the car, get out of the car, to stay in the room, to stay in your house? Is he telling you all these? Are you seeking him for all that? Read that again.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Yeah. Without blame. What there's condemnation if you're not walking in the Spirit. It says there's no condemnation to those that walk not out of the Spirit, but in the Spirit. Not in the flesh, amen?
Amen.
But in the Spirit. There's no condemnation. There's no death if you're walking in the Spirit. You could read the rest of these scriptures. This is Ephesians, right?
Yes.
Let's keep going a little bit more.
Okay. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children.
Yeah, so if we're a child of the Lord and we're predestinated, we've been adopted into the body of Christ, then we move with Christ. If you're not moving with Christ, if my arm doesn't move with my body, then what gives? Was ist los? If my foot, my body's going this way, my foot better well come with me or I'm going to go and check him out. Amen? Are you part of the body of Christ? Then you go with the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're none of his. Okay, so stop playing church like the rest of the people and become part of the body of Christ. Don't learn the Bible intellectually, but live the Bible the way the Bible says that you must do if you wish to inherit eternal life and have refuge eternally and refuge here on this earth. Okay? Then what? Now, go back to the one where it says, all spiritual blessings.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Okay, and the original tells us that it's all spiritual and earthly blessings. I mean, the original Greek. It's with every blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Because he does say that he will bless us in the field, amen, and bless us in the store, he blesses our bodies. The original says he blesses not just with all spiritual, but with all spiritual and earthly blessings. Okay?
Yes.
So that's one point that I believe should be made. This King James Version is a little bit vague in that particular scripture. I like to study the scriptures. I'm a student of the Bible and of the Lord. I just love to study him because there's nothing worth studying more than him. All right, and then go ahead. Some more.
Get back down.
Yes.
Okay. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
He has already made us accepted. It's already a past tense. Amen?
Amen.
It's a done deal. Okay, it's not that he will, but he has already. Amen?
Amen?
So this book of Ephesians is a very positive book of things that the Lord has already done for us. And so if we have faith, then we receive that. That we have something. We're not waiting for God to do something for us. Because we have to know that he has already and act upon it. Okay, because if I give you, say, my briefcase, I go down to the front row of the church and I say, here's my briefcase. And then you could ask, will you give me your briefcase? And I look at you and you're holding my briefcase. Or if I let you hold my Bible, I say, will you let me hold your Bible? And I'll say, there's something wrong with your head. You are holding my Bible, okay? Now, if you say, oh Lord, give me spiritual blessings, and the Lord has already given you all the spiritual blessings, because through understanding we know that he already has. It says so here, amen? And you're asking him to give it to you, he's looking at you, possibly scratching his head, saying, I told you, you already have it, nummy. Okay? Do you have salvation?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so don't be asking for it. You have it. Do you have healing?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
Because with his stripes we were healed.
We were. That's past tense, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen? Doesn't he say that we have victory?
Yes.
Where? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Does it say that?
Yes.
We can do all things in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So you can't just read it. You have to apply it and believe that you already have it. Because if you don't believe that all those spiritual things are yours and that he's already given it to you, well, then you're still asking him for something that you already have. If I give you a $1,000 bill or 10 $100 bills, and you say, I need $1,000, and I tell you, here it is. But I need it. I need it. Then I've got to think you're retarded. Amen?
Amen?
And what do you think the Lord thinks about you, too, when he says, you already have it. By my stripes, you were healed. Amen? And salvation is yours, and that you are now a son or a daughter of the Lord. Well, you keep saying all these things, and that's kind of boring. It's boring because you forget it as soon as you've heard it. And if you forget the things that the Lord says, then you don't have them, or you don't believe you have them, even though you do, and you're not going to act upon it. And therefore, you're going to always ask for healing, and the Lord's going to say, you are, just like Tony gave you the $100 bill or whatever he gave you, and you've got it already. Amen?
Amen?
Now go spend it. Get up. Take up your bed and walk. Amen?
Amen?
Either you believe me, you're saved by believing my word, or you're lost by faith, the faithful. He says, this is to the faithful. Amen?
Amen.
And who else?
And the saints.
And the saints. The saints and the faithful. They know that they have these things. And they're able because they know they have them. They don't just have them and not know it. Because they study to get the understanding that they have it. And by the word of God here, we understand that we have it. Amen?
Amen.
By the word of God, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that Abraham, the Lord told him to take off and go to a land he didn't know, and he just did it. He didn't try to reason it in his mind. It's unreasonable, Lord. We're established here. That's an unreasonable request, Lord. It just doesn't compute with my natural mind. Okay? You're supernatural and I'm natural, and I just can't receive it because it's just it doesn't make sense in the natural. Well, then, you're not going to be the father of faith. The faithful are the ones that listen to what I say and they do it. They don't just log it in to their head and say, yes, that's it. But then, okay, now pack up your bags and go, and don't even bring a lot of stuff with you. Just, that's it. Leave your house. My house, Lord, I paid, $50,000, $250,000 for it. You want me to leave my house and go someplace where I don't even know? That doesn't compute with my natural brain. My mind, I just can't receive that. Well, you can't receive the spiritual things. Amen?
Yeah.
You can't receive it. It's like, we know now by understanding that the room that we're in right now is filled full of television waves, right?
Right.
Can you see them?
No.
Well, then you believe that they're here, right? Radio waves, television waves, and everything like that. Well, do you believe the Spirit of the Lord is here?
Yes.
Well, isn't that? You have faith then. Faith in the television waves and the waves of the radio waves and all that. But you have to also believe that the Lord is everywhere. Hey. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, we just found that out a few years ago, but they've always been here. If you the ability for television waves to go everywhere. How do we know they're here? You turn on the television set, right? Or the radio? Amen. You got to make sure it's plugged in. Just like you have to make sure you're plugged into the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That He's in you and you're in Him. Okay, so you turn on the television set and it's a little, the light comes on and everything, but there's nothing on that channel. You just say, well, it's really a station there, but there's nothing coming through. So you have faith that the television waves are there, so the first thing you do is go over to the phone and call the station? No, you check your receiver to see if your television set is receiving the waves properly, right? So you turn to another channel to see if that channel's jacked up. And then you go to the other one, and if there's a picture coming in and everything is fine on other channels, then you might think then that it is the problem with the people that are to the station that is televising. All right? But still, there might be something wrong with them, but it could be your receiver. Okay? And if you're not hearing from the Lord, there could be something wrong with your receiver. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something wrong with your receiver, we have the Bible to go to and receive what the Bible says. Amen?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we know that the Lord is everywhere. He's even more prevalent than the television waves and the radio waves. Amen?
Yeah.
And there's computer waves, everything going through the air, and it's really around us. It's really around us. There's radioactivity in the air. And you can't see it and believe the Bible when He tells you. Before people knew about radio waves, television waves, before they knew about all these other waves that's going through the air, radioactivity and all that, He said He was everywhere. Isn't that amazing that He told us these things before it really happened? He knows. And in that office, I never realized that when the Lord first came down to me, the power came down on me so powerful, and the intelligence of the Lord came into the room so strongly that I knew that He was everywhere. I mean, that He knew everything. There's just nothing. The television waves don't know everything. Amen? They don't know anything, really. But the Spirit of the Lord knows everything, and He knows if you're diligently seeking Him. So let's go now. You got to have faith to know that, to turn on your television set, right?
Right.
You have faith to go over there and turn it on? Right? It's better to go and turn on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, now, let's go to Hebrews. Okay, it's verses 1 and especially 6. Let's get to that. Okay, we can 1.
Now, faith is the substance.
So it's the substance. It's real. We substantially believe that we can turn on the television set and it'll respond. And we can turn on the light and it'll respond. We can turn on the radio and it, we're going to have it. If we've got a good receiver in there, it's going to receive whatever the television waves are bringing to it. Amen? And then we got the channels and everything and we're just used to that. We have a lot of faith in that, right?
Right.
Now we have to go another step further. We have to have faith that the Lord's everywhere. And that he will respond if our receiver is right. In other words, if we're doing everything that we can to diligently seek him. Because the receiver, our receiver, is turned on to hear whatever he says if we diligently seek him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Read that first, verse 6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yeah, without faith, it's impossible to turn on the TV set. Because you don't believe it's there. You're not going to be, how are you going to please the advertisers that are advertising on television or the people that are sponsoring these programs or anything if you don't, what? If you don't what?
Without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yeah, so if I tell you to go get me something and then I'll reward you, it's impossible to please me if you don't do that. Amen?
Amen.
It's impossible for me to want to hire you as a person in my store, if I had a store, or in my business. It's you can't please me if you're not going to do what I tell you. And that's what the Lord's saying. All right, through the writer of Hebrews. Okay, now go ahead.
But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Yeah, you must believe that there's radio waves. That there's television waves. There's computer waves. Every kind of these waves going through the air. Radioactive waves. You have to believe that because evidently you do, or you wouldn't be able to go on and turn on the light or anything, right?
Right.
So read that part again.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
You must believe that he's in the air and everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe that humans are able to put these waves in the air and you can't see them, then you better believe that he's in the air. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
So anyone that comes to him must believe that he is. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I am. Amen?
Amen.
I am the I am. I am. Okay, then what?
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
The emphasis on the word diligently. You want to be rewarded? Then you must seek him diligently. Because he's only a rewarder to all those that diligently seek him. Does it say to those? Hmm? To those?
To them.
To them. Well, it doesn't say just one person. It says to them. That could be you, me, somebody else, right?
Right.
Zion over there. Or anyone. To those, to them, to anyone that diligently seeks him. Do you think if everybody in the world diligently sought the Lord, that he would reward them all?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we'll go to... I pray that this has meant something to you, this expounding, and we'll go to Joshua chapter 20 now. And I'm going to leave you to study the word yourself, because there's so much I could just expound on this for an eternity. But you have it. He already provided it. Amen. But you have to diligently seek him in order to have it, to make it work. In other words, I have a television set in my room, but I have to go and turn it on in order for it to work. Amen?
Amen.
You have the Lord and all the blessings and everything, but you've got to diligently seek Him in order for it to receive the what? There's a reward. All the good rewards. We have all the mechanics in us, he said. All the good things are in us. Amen?
Amen.
But we want to get the rewards. We have the television set, but now we want to watch the TV programs. We don't do that really, but you want to watch the TV program, you got to turn it on and go through the channels, you know. Do some channel surfing. Amen? Okay, then what? Now we're in Joshua chapter 20.
The cities of refuge, King James Version, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying...
See, the Lord spake. He speaks to those that diligently seek him. Amen?
Amen.
See, I just can't hear from the Lord. I just can't... we have to go shopping today, and we've got to go over to Sally's place, and we're having a benefit over there today, and we're going to go over to the children's school, and we're going to jump up and down on the trampoline. No wonder you don't hear from the Lord. Amen? All these different activities that you're doing all day long are more important to you than hearing from the Lord. Read that again.
The Lord also spake unto Joshua.
You want to hear the Lord speak?
Yeah.
He'll reward you with hearing Him speak if you diligently seek Him and put Him first and foremost. You don't want to hear from the Lord? You don't want His direction? Then don't diligently seek Him. That's the way He puts it to us, all right? That's the way it is. Because He's commanding diligence, right?
Right.
Not passiveness. As a matter of fact, He says, I'll spit you out of my mouth if you're passive. Okay? Be zealous, or I'll spit you out of my mouth. That means you're not in His body. You're not a member of His body anymore. And don't let anybody fool you or lie to you that you're just unconditionally the Lord's. Okay, then what?
Verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge.
These are words from God. You want to hear from God? You're hearing from Him right there. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses.
So He told Moses that, and I told Joshua that. Okay? So God talks. Where do you think languages came from in the first place? From man? You're out of your mind. You're goofier than I thought. Okay? The Bible tells where languages came from. Read it. Then what? Oh, you're insulting human beings. God insults them. Yeah? Cease from man, in whose nose is a breath. For how little is he to be counted? If you're an accountant, it's like nothing. They're nothing. They're grass, vapor, shadows, that's all. Listen to the Lord and live. But you're so insulting, Tony Alamo. No, I just tell you, you know, you should be insulted. Because you, there's nothing in you. Hey, you don't have the Lord. You can't do anything. So why not insult you? Get with the Lord, and then I cannot insult you. Amen?
Amen.
Nor can anyone. They may chide with you, but it won't do them any good. Okay, then what?
Verse 3. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither.
See how God cares about you, that if you did something accidentally, you got a place to go? You're not standing out there alone on your own. You're with the Lord now. Okay? The Lord's got you covering your back. Amen?
Amen?
Then what?
And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Verse 4, and when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them.
So you have to go to the elders. You just don't run there and then kind of, you know, and hide. What you do is you have to present what happened to the elders of that city. got to say, look, I mean, you can tell when a person is lying or not, and they're concerned and they're sad that something happened. I was, chopping wood, and this axe handle, the head of it came off and hit this man right in the head, and he died. And God, it just floored me. I can't hardly stand myself anymore. That by me something like this happened. And so the Lord tells me to come to this city of refuge, and if you deem that I'm correct, you can go and look at the scene where it was, and look at the axe handle, and look at the head of the axe and everything, and judge me, you know. And if I die then, because it was through me that some man died. Well, no, it was an accident. They judge as an accident, so you're safe here until the priest dies. Okay, then what?
Verse 5, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand.
No, the people, the elders of that city protect you then. No, listen, he's in the city of refuge. You want to get in trouble with the Lord, just come in and try to take him. We're not going to let you take him. You got protection then because of what God did. Not because the men of the city are so good. They're also obeying the Lord. Then what?
Because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time.
Right.
Verse 6. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days.
So if you did that, you have to stay there until the priest. You're not in jail. You're just confined to that city for your own protection until the high priest of that area dies. And when he dies, then you're released. You can go. And the anger of the person that person's relatives, the person that you killed, the anger of their of them has subsided by then. And they're receiving what the Lord said, that it was an accident and everything. And so you're primarily free from any danger of being killed by them. Then what else?
Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Verse 7, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Verse 8, and on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben.
Well, why did I mention it? It's important to know where to go. Amen?
Amen.
God, I mean, this isn't a play thing. This is telling you how to save your life on earth, and then by being obedient to the Lord, by having immortality. So you're blessed with all spiritual blessings and earthly blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Is not having the word of the Lord here on earth an earthly blessing?
Amen.
Okay, because it tells us what to do here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
And Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. Verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation.
Okay, go ahead with the translation now.
The cities of refuge. The Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, quote, now tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed Moses. Verse 3. Anyone who kills another person unintentionally can run to one of these cities and be protected from the relatives of the one who was killed, for the relatives may seek to avenge the killing. Verse 4. Upon reaching one of these cities, the one who caused the accidental death will appear before the leaders at the city gate and explain what happened. They must allow the accursed to enter the city and live there among them. Verse 5. If the relatives of the victim come to avenge the killing, the leaders must not release the cursed to them, for the death was accidental. verse 6, but the person who caused the death must stay in that city and be tried by the community and found innocent. Then the one declared innocent because the death was accidental must continue to live in that city until the death of the high priest who was in office at the time of the accident.
So the whole community is going to protect you if you're there. Because once they deem that you're innocent, you're under their protection then. And they're all accountable if they don't protect you. Okay, then what?
After that, the one found innocent is free to return home, unquote. Verse 7, the following cities were designated as cities of refuge. Kadesh of Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. Verse 8, on the east side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho, the following cities were designated as cities of refuge. Bezer in the wilderness plain of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the territory of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the land of the tribe of Manasseh. Verse 9, these cities were set apart for Israelites as well as the foreigners living among them. Anyone who accidentally killed another person could take refuge in one of these cities. In this way, they could escape being killed in revenge prior to standing trial before the community.
Okay, now, that was Joshua chapter 20, nine verses, and now we have some commentary.
20, verse 2 through 6. It was the custom among all the ancient Near Eastern peoples to demand equal punishment for a crime, a life for a life. No consideration was given to the circumstances, but God's laws considered intent. He wanted to know what their intentions were. Cities of refuge were established to provide sanctuary for one who had killed another unwillfully. He was protected until he stood trial, and if judged innocent, he was required to live there until the death of the high priest.
Right. People without the guidance from the Lord are savages. You don't know. They get some reasoning, their own flesh in their mind, and they will savagely kill you or like do something evil to you. And this is one of the things that you have to realize is you cannot trust the thoughts or the intents of a person that doesn't value God's word as their guide. And so you have to be extremely careful in this world. You could be driving down the freeway and there's like a traffic jam to the point to where it looks like a parking lot out there on the freeway. And because the traffic doesn't move. And somebody is just, they're so angry because it's tied up. They take a gun and just go and kill somebody right in front of them. I mean, this is called road rage. They have, or freeway rage, and it happens all the time right here in Los Angeles, and I've heard of it happening in many other areas. And it's just something that people are selling tapes now to calm down your savage thoughts and ideas and things that you want to do to people. So you just have to be in the spirit. Be in the Spirit, and the Lord will be your guide. Let the Word be your guide. Amen?
Amen?
So see how the Lord just cares about everybody, and He provides cities for people and places for you to take refuge in. And it's not just physical cities now. It's we take refuge in the Lord's guidance where to go. The refuge could be in your room. It could be in a park. It could be somewhere else. You do it. You just have to rely on the Lord's Spirit. You've got to start communicating with Him. You must begin valuing the Lord's communication to you. There, you have to repair your receiver set. Okay, you're a receiver, and if you're not receiving, then there's something wrong. And that something is that you're not diligently seeking the Lord. That's just all there is to it. Amen? Because He'll reward you with His guidance if you diligently seek Him, okay? And if you do, He will be found of you. You'll find Him, all right? Then what?
20, verse 3, quote, avenger of blood, unquote, It was the duty of the nearest male relative to avenge the death by killing the killer. 20 verse 4. Entrance of the gate. This prominent area in the city became the local city hall. Here cases were heard and reviewed by the city elders, men of age and experience who represented the people. 20 verse 6. Death of the high priest. This is a picture of what Christ has done for us. Only the death of the high priest could release the offender to return home, just as Christ's death on the cross releases us from our bodies here on earth. His blood releases us of our former sins, not sins after that, but our former sins.
Go back two sentences.
Okay. This is a picture of what Christ has done for us. Only the death of the high
priest. Right, he has done it. You know, it's past tense. Amen?
Amen.
He's already provided a place of refuge. Then what?
Only the death of the high priest could release the offender to return home.
Right, and Christ was the high priest. Amen?
Amen.
After the order of Melchizedek. So he's released us. Okay, then what?
Just as Christ's death on the cross releases us from our bodies here on earth.
From our bodies, and he released us also from the eternal flames of hell and in the lake of fire. Then what?
His blood releases us of our former sins. Not sins after that, but our former sins.
Yeah, sins of ignorance, we can still be forgiven if we ignorantly did something that these people ignorantly killed somebody. But if we ignorantly did it and we found out about it and we got forgiveness, just if you do it again, then you're not ignorant anymore to it. Then it's a willful something that you wanted to do. Okay, then what?
His blood releases us of our former sins, not sins after that, but our former sins, that we might go to our heavenly home if we continue on in the Word and in the Spirit.
Remember this, if you do. Then what?
20 verse 7 through 8.
If you constantly, diligently seek the Lord, vigilantly, diligently, then what?
6 Levitical cities were chosen as cities of refuge, 3 east of the Jordan and 3 west. In each set of 3, one city was located in the north, one in the central region, and one in the south, so that it might not take more than half a day to reach a city of refuge.
Yeah, Israel is very small. Okay, then what else?
20 verse 1 through 6. The 6 cities of refuge show God's design to protect the innocent. Anyone who accidentally killed
God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Anyone who accidentally killed another without hatred or intention could escape to a city of refuge where his case could be heard and would be tried by the leaders of that city. If proven innocent, the individual was required to remain as a protected person within the city until the current high priest of Israel died. At the death of the high priest, the protected person was free to leave without fear of retribution. If found guilty of intentional murder, however, he was put to death. See Numbers chapter 35, 16, verse 16 through 21. And verse 29 through 34.
Yeah, you see, God believes in the death penalty. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Many of us go through life with no place of refuge. We carry our burdens from problem to problem, repeating our sins of the past. Churches and recovery groups can be refuges where you think that you can come together and share the pain so you no longer have to be victimized by it. But we have to go to God rather than to just churches. In churches, you can have a support group, but you have to go to God and confess your sins. Hopefully, they are not intentional sins. God is a God of power. God is a God of His Word. So if you've done anything accidentally or unintentionally, you can find refuge and forgiveness there.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter. That was Joshua chapter 20, with the 9 verses, and we read from Hebrews, and also Ephesians, And I'd like to just by ending this by going back to Hebrews and finish, go from 1 to 6 again, just as a reminder for you to keep your mind on all the day long as you meditate on the Lord today. One day at a time is the way we make it in. Don't try to think about tomorrow or the next day. And you may want something today and you just feel disappointed because maybe the pastor doesn't give it to you, and maybe it's because the Lord is telling the pastor, not yet, not yet. There's a young man that wants something, and the Lord says no. So just wait until the Lord says yes. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Read it now.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah, so just like the TV waves in the air. Amen?
Amen.
It's there. You just can't see it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Just the Lord is for sure there, way more prominent than the TV waves and the radio waves and the microwaves. Okay, then what?
For by it, the elders obtained a good report.
Yeah, by that, knowing that, you can just turn on the television. By knowing that the Lord's everywhere, you can get a good report too, because you're so fearful that he's there and knows everything that you do exactly what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Yes. We have to have faith in that. We have to have faith because we have to believe in that which is invisible. We can't see it. If we could see God, then it doesn't take faith anymore. We don't have to hope for it anymore because we see it and we have it. We have it, so we have to have... We have to have it already and believe it so much that the invisible God will bless us and reward us with all the things that he says he will. Okay? We have to have more faith in the invisible, because everything that's visible was made by things that are invisible. Amen? So why not have more faith in the invisible? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
He did what the Lord said. He had to acknowledge the blood of Jesus, who had come to die for our sins. Then what?
By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Right. Testifying of his gifts. Okay. That was Abel's gifts of faith, to offer up the blood of the lamb. Then what?
Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God.
Right. Now, Enoch has to come back to earth, because it's appointed unto all men that they have to die. It's appointed of all men to men that they must die, and after death the judgment. So Enoch is the one of the two witnesses, and I believe his wife is the second one, the two witnesses. And they will be fasting, and they'll be in sackcloth and ashes, the two witnesses. That means they'll be fasting for their period of time that they're on earth here, after God gives power unto his two witnesses. One is Enoch, and the other one, I'm just sure, is his wife. And what people that say that it's going to be Elijah, God said that Elijah was John the Baptist, but John the Baptist was Elijah, and he's already dead. He's not going to die twice. He were appointed to die once, and after death, the judgment. So Elijah's already been here. Enoch has to come back. And I believe he's right here on earth now. Okay, then what?
6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Let's diligently seek him today. Amen? And until the next chapter in Joshua, God bless you and praise the Lord.